Sorry. Where was I? Okay, here. So with these bulk operators in mind, that you're going to have bulk operators and boundary operators. So I'm going to need something like an algebra constructing these operators. And in order to understand these better, a convenient setup that can be provided is coming from quantum error correction. And by that, I particularly will use quantum error correcting code. And in this setup, it's conveniently giving us something like a code subspace of the Hilbert space, that where operators can be well defined and can be expressed, so we don't have to worry about the full bulk. Are you questioning? No. Okay. And so from here, it's providing something like H code, which is a code subspace of the subspace of the physical Hilbert space. This is a call Hilbert space of the CFT, which is the boundary. And with this in mind, these operators that I was keep telling you will use operator algebra, which comes in the third component, which you're going to utilize as von Neumann algebras. And von Neumann algebra is the one that's utilized to express both when it's finite or infinite dimensional Hilbert spaces. And by utilizing these are the algebras that's going to giving operators for any generic quantum field theory settings. So this can be applied to either long-range modes in the bulk operators, in the semi-classical bulk, or the boundary. So for example, if you can think like that, let's say we have some finite dimensional Hilbert space, then we can put it like some minimal region, and we call this a Ruchakin like a surface. And you can have some area, the subregion, that we can use to reconstruct the full Hilbert space. So this will be then having this particular von Neumann algebra, let's say M. Then its complement of the algebra is also von Neumann algebra that can utilize the algebras on the other component of the bulk. And then it can be mapped back to it when it's taken as double commutant. So this will be the area where the entangled wedge is, and this will be the area complementing it. And the boundary will have the same structure. So if you put this as an M code, the code Hilbert space, and put it as a boundary Hilbert space, that each of them, the relation will be just the same. And this was used to show that entangled wedge reconstruction, is identical to relative entropies of the bulk and boundary to be equivalent. And this is known as the Josephine-Lukacs-Maldacena-Sa formula, which gives the up to the order of G Newton to zero, their boundary and the bulk relative entropies are identical. And in order to show this for a finite dimensional surface, they did it by having a one bistep by utilizing the this Gutek and Nagy surface. So let's say this was a complete picture we had in finite dimensional Hilbert spaces. So we want to kind of change the gear. So let's say we want some field theories that satisfy Riesz-Schlieder theorem, meaning finite dimensional Hilbert spaces will not be sufficient anymore. So what is this Riesz-Schlieder theorem? So Riesz-Schlieder theorem, I'm going to give you explicitly, is that for any region, I'm going to call it A, by acting on the vacuum, I'm going to call it this as a vacuum state, but then we'll have operators of the theory that's located in that region. Then we can actually reproduce a set of states which is dense, this is the important part, in the full Hilbert space of the CFT. So this is coming from the Wideman axiom that we expect to hold for all the quantum field theory. So what does it mean? So this is not going to hold in finite dimensional Hilbert spaces. So let's say you have something like a lattice gauge theory. You act on one site, then you're not going to recreate the whole Hilbert space. The reason is because you don't have enough, like big enough entanglement. So what you really want is then consider like a large infinite dimensional Hilbert space satisfied to do so. So this one will necessitate us to understand infinite dimensional Hilbert spaces. But now we have an issue. So in earlier, I was telling you in finite dimensional cases, we had this nice statement because we could go through Riesz-Takanagi area as a surface. So unless you can do like safe regulating and stuff, which is only done for certain cases, you cannot generally do that for infinite dimensional cases. Then how do we understand this entangled wet reconstruction and relative entropies? So I want to go over first that our first goal to be is showing that without Riesz-Takanagi surface considering, entangled wet reconstruction and relative entropy equivalence will still be exactly equivalence relation. So in order to actually demonstrate that, first we need to look into what does it mean by operator algebra, because now we need to actually understand entanglement wet reconstruction and relative entropies with respect to operators. So for that, let's say we have some quantum field theories. Then we're going to recreate this by using this cyclic and separating state, which I'll explain what it means shortly after. But let's say we start with the cyclic separating state, kind of like some sort of vacuum or ground state. Then by acting with a suitable local operator, then we can obtain some dense subset of the Hilbert space. And by this way, we can actually satisfy this Riesz-Schlieder theorem to be satisfied. So then what is this cyclic and separating state? So to define this, I'm going to call this as a vector that we're going to consider in the Hilbert space. And I'm going to define a map that maps from this to be a von Neumann algebra to the Hilbert space. So what I'm really doing is that, let's say we have some operator from this, then it's acting onto some operator, acting onto the state. It's a normal thing what we do in quantum field theory. So when we do that, so this is cyclic when this Hilbert space is a closure of the image of this map. That's like not quite surjection. So it's separating if this map is an injection. meaning the kernel of this map is empty. So basically what we want is not quite required to be bidirection, since we do lose information from this, but we need something similar to a bidirection. So for this, so what that really means is that if the physical content of the theory is identical to what manifestly relevant to the reissue-eater. So what I mean by that, so all the bulk content will satisfy the reissue-eater theorem. Then we can have entanglement wedge reconstruction to be defined with respect to this, this map and the von Neumann algebra setting. So we should first understand how to reform entanglement wedge reconstruction in this infinite dimensional Hilbert spaces. Are we good so far? Do you have a question?
Maybe a small question. So when you said it's not quite injective, what
does it mean? Oh, no, not quite surjective.
Oh, it's not quite surjective.
Yeah, injection is completely
true. You mean that this is going to be just a completion?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it has to be absolutely injective. Otherwise, it'll define. Yes.
Actually, I do have a problem with actually. When you say acting with a local operator, do you mean like a whole family of local operators?
Yeah, the whole family, the set of local operators.
Yeah, like all of them blocked.
Yeah, I meant like any, like a suitable local operator. Yeah. All right. So for that, then let's actually define what local operator algebra is. So local operator algebra of a Q of T is, I always keep telling you, going to be a von Neumann algebra, but I'm going to just tag it as M, right? Then this M is given by the bounded set of operators. So it will be comprised of only bounded operators in the Hilbert space. So, and then you can do the commutant, which is kind of like that, but you don't have explicitly that picture because it's not finite anymore. But something like that, then you can have this commutant, which is also a von Neumann algebra. But now it actually commutes with everything from von Neumann algebra. So this will be the formal definition of it. Then I'll give you then what does it mean by a von Neumann algebra? So definition of a von Neumann algebra is that it is an algebra satisfying this three criterions. The first one is containing identity. I mean, overall, this should describe quantum field theory. Without identity, you cannot do anything, right? And next one is it's closed under Hermitian conjugation. Which we would expect to have because you're dealing with quantum mechanics. And this is the important one, that its double commutant maps back to itself. So another way of saying that is it's closed under strong limit for all the operators we have in the Hilbert space.
So if you have a gauge theory in the bulk, what do you mean by local operator algebra? Algebra of gauge invariant operators?
Yes.
Okay. So you exclude gravity then?
Yes and no. So if you're doing the full quantum gravity, that's impossible, right? But if you're doing like semi-classical bulk, you can approximate as effective field theory, then you can. Then
you can kind of interpret that as like a long wavelength mode, and then it's kind of back to quantum field theory. So what's the factor that quantum field theory can apply? So the fully interactive quantum gravity
thank you.
can have closure around the set of states obtained by acting on this. Acting on this ground state with some products of smeared operators.
We'll actually define the vacuum X super selection sector. So this is an important part that we can always then understand the vacuum selection sector of the theory that we're considering by using these operator algebras. So from there, then each of this super selection sector of the theory is then an invariant subspace of the algebra of local operators. So then we can understand this. So since quantum field theory should be understood with a spacetime, let's say we have some open region.
I mean,
yes.
If you had, so would it also work if you have some degeneracy? If you have like many inequivalent vacua, you could also talk about, you know, different super selection sectors.
Correct.
That you could work in these super selection sectors. You don't actually need that unique ground state.
Correct. I just want to give the simplest expression possible because I want to start with many different things. It'll be not as a good demonstration. Yes, but you can absolutely have it, of course.
Okay, good.
All right, so then you can have something like open open region in the space-time. I'm going to call it U. Then each of the open region of space-time, you can have an associated, some algebra that lives in this open space-time. Then this will be an associated local operator algebra. So this does not necessarily need to be always bounded. And this can be generically unbounded. But if you remember, von Neumann algebra is always comprised of bounded operators. So somehow we need to make this bounded. So we use the technique of polar decomposition. And this gives two things. So first thing that it gives is a partial isometry. And another thing it gives is a self-adjoint operator, a positive operator. So what is so special about this self-adjoint positive operator is that this is canonically associated with a set of projections. And this is going to be the part that we will actually need to make the von Neumann algebra. So from here, what we have was partial isometry, and this, that gives a set of projections, right? So I'm going to use number of these partial isometries and all set of projections allowed, and this will give a von Neumann algebra associated to explicitly this space region of the spacetime. So by doing this process, you're making it bounded by integrating out all the elementary fields, and then you're getting a bounded set of algebra, and that's the von Neumann algebra. Is that clear? Okay, good.
What are the projections?
So this is the projections that you'll need to define the operators where it lives on, right?
So just saying, and it tells you which region you smear over?
Right, okay. Correct. So this will be associated directly to the smearing operators of the region. All right. So from here, then we can get, so what I want to really emphasize there is that then polynomial algebra is tagging now each of the open region of the spacetime. So we are now replacing geometrically where it is, subregion by subregion, into algebra, right? So this algebra will already understand its information coming from geometry. So now we can worry about that less and just deal directly with the polynomial algebra to construct the entanglement wedge, which is a geometrical subregion as a subset. So now then, you have like a particular semi-classical block, let's say. And the boundary, because we can put it in the setting of ADS-DFT now. To have this type of polynomial algebra associated to the bulk and the boundary separately. Meaning now I'm going to put as a bulk to boundary as a map. Boundary. And I'm going to call this map as an isometry. Meaning some of the bulk and boundary will have isometry preserved. And bulk has a lot more information because of quantum gravity. To a conformal field theory, this will lose some information, so this is not necessarily a bijection. And this will comprise of all the projections as well. So when you put it into the semi-classical bulk for this setting, then we do not have to worry as much as a quantum gravity, because it's semi-classical region, so not so quite of a fully quantum region. So what we're really trying to understand is this can be effectively described by some quantum field theory on a global ADS spectrum. So this is the best that it will actually give you by having this relation of the entangled wedge reconstruction by using this method. So then with this in mind, what can we actually do with this to show that? Because, thus, I guess I already erased it. So relative entropy that needs to be interpreted using this polynomial algebra as well. So from when we were in high school, we learned like relative entropy with respect to two density matrices to be like trace rho log rho minus rho log sigma. It's a very nice relation always that we remember from back in quantum mechanics class. But this one, if you look at it, this will be actually insufficient for our setup. So polynomial algebras can describe both finite and infinite dimensional cases. In finite cases of up till some n-dimensional Hilbert space will have a type in. This one is well-defined, we always worked on. And for infinite dimensional cases, we can have various different type of polynomial algebras. We can have like type 2, 1, 2, infinity, and type 3 of lambda going from 0 to 1. So don't worry about what they mean. But the important take is, among all these things, but also I infinity, this is the only one you can have that's well-defined finite trace. So this is a nice one. But all the rest of them, even trace is not well-defined. So let's move back to this relative entropy. There's no trace. So we cannot understand what that means. So should we give up and not understand what that means? But that would not be a purpose of the talk, right? So let's try to actually see what this means. So from here, if you just, by glancing at it, you can see that this will be not increase upon performing a partial trace. So that's good. So what this means is that this can be thought of as a measure of indistinguishability in this. Distinguishability between the two states of rho and sigma. Yes?
Excuse me, sorry. You're going to be considering all those cases where the density matrix is an element of the algebra, of the polynomial algebra?
All possible polynomial algebras.
Yeah, but yeah. The density matrix, if I consider like the relative density matrix in a subregion, that is going to be an operator.
That will be the case if it's finite dimensional, when you can define the density matrix to be well defined, right? Because the reason is, well, even this one you can still do it. There's trace, but the other cases, that's very difficult. There's no trace. How do you define now as a density matrix? You need to have some sort of cut, right? So that's very hard.
Okay.
So here I'm going to actually just build this without using trace. Yeah, so it is, I was trying to really get what that means. So with the sense that let's try to actually build it in most generic sense possible. That will be consistent with what we already know. Do you guys have a question?
No, just translating.
Ah, okay. Okay. All right, so with that in mind, so it's a measure of indistinguishability. So we should be able to build this then using operator algebras, since that will give enough of information to understand if it is distinguishable or not, right? So in order to do that, you need a little bit of automated Takasago theory, which clearly I'm not going to give you what that means today, because that'll require several hours. But I'm giving you a relevant information today. So relevant information that I'm going to give you is that this is going to give you a modular Hamiltonian. So first, I'm going to define relative Tomita operator. So this operator will map, let's say we have two states. So this is going to be cyclic and separating state. Meaning we need some sort of vacuum. And this is just some other state, or it can be the same, some other state in the Hilbert space. Then this will map this into this. And the x is the limit of the sequence of operators acting on the psi when the limit exists. Whereas y is the same thing for phi, the other state with the dagger, where the limit exists. So what it really means is that it's going to, well, for some sequence of operator in von Neumann algebra. So some operator sequence that acting on it in the limit that's going to send this limit into that limit. So that's the relative Tomita operator. So we need this because I'm going to use this to define modular operator. That's actually the modular operator giving modular flow between boundary and the bulk, and also the modular Hamiltonian thereof. All right. So from here, the relative modular operator is then given by delta between the same two states to be defined as S dagger S. So this is, if you're believing me that this is a modular operator, then by acting on this with some unitary operators, that this should remain the same thing. So if you change this into some unitaries acting on this phi, this should not change, right? Because it's going to be the same modular flow. And you can check that this is indeed the case, that this will be identical. So it's identical under any unitary operation on the one side. And from here, another thing that's important to remember is that this is explicitly the one generating modular operator. So when you're having something like a Wendler space, the left wedge and right edge, then you will be able to define this to be associated with the Boost generator, so that this is going to be generating explicitly the modular flow, and you will be able to reconstruct the modular Hamiltonian associated to this as well. So let's see that first. So actually, if I want to see that, I'm not sure. But important thing is that from here, I can finally define relative entropy. Then entropy, it uses curvy S of this von Neumann algebra is then defined as the expectation of the by the vacuum of this log of the relative modular operator. So this is a relative entropy, and this kind of makes sense. First of all, it has the right sign. Then it has the log of some modular flow, so that's kind of similar still. And inside of trace, you will be getting an expectation value with respect to a vacuum. So that's similar to what we had before. It's like if you do partial trace of a finite reduced ones, you'll expect to have exactly something like this, and you can check that it explicitly matches for finite cases. You can explicitly write in this format and define as a... So for finite case, if you do this for a density matrix, you can reconstruct explicitly this formula. Very good. All right. So now we have done relative entropy by using only the von Neumann algebra. Now we can actually satisfy to see entangled wet reconstruction and relative entropy to be identical. So for that. So the theorem that I'm going to give that satisfies this, the integral wet reconstruction is identical to relative equivalence, can be formalized as the following. So first, you need two ingredients of the thing. So first of all, you need an isometry. And this one is the one that's mapping bulk to boundary, as I was emphasizing. And this one we actually need. And another ingredient we need is a von Neumann algebra to be defined on both H code and the H fizz. This I'm going to demonstrate as a bulk. This is, no, boundary. This is the boundary, and that's going to be the bulk. The purpose of this theorem, H code, is basically H bulk. And here, then, von Neumann algebra we have will be M code and M code prime is a commutant. And you can do the same thing as M fizz and M fizz prime. But this is a commutant. And it's a double commutant will map back to itself. And we need one assumption is that this isometry will preserve cyclic and separating state. So if we have the psi in H code to be cyclic and separating, well, with respect to M code, then this is preserved under the isometry such that the U psi is still cyclic and separating with respect to M physics. Now, that is not surprising because every theory that I can think of in holography will satisfy this, as we do expect vacuum to be consistently existing throughout both bulk and the boundary. Very good. Then under this assumption, what we really have is having entangled wet reconstruction, meaning the operators are copied over on the regular space and the commutant space. And then the relative entropy between the boundary and the bulk using that formula will be identical as literally if and only if. So you can show both directions to be identical. So then where does this theorem actually apply to? So, and where is this assumption actually coming from? So I'm going to recall Vichy-Leder theorem earlier. And for the purpose of the talk for right now, I'm going to restrict to d-dimensional Minkowski. So considering a d-dimensional Minkowski quantum field theory, then we can have the each component of the energy momentum operator to be identical to then self-adjoint operator with its own set of spectral projections. So then we can take the subsets of the momentum space, meaning I'm going to regulate it. So I'm going to put that as this with the explicit regulation component. So it will be this momentum under this regulating cutoff energy will be all gone, whereas this one is going from 0 to d minus 1 is we're in d-dimensional space-time with the Minkowski. So when we have this, then we can have spectral projection of each momentum operator, a momentum energy operator, and can use this to construct a projection operator that we always write as pi of this cutoff, well, pi of s of cutoff. And this one will be the one that's projecting onto the subspace of states with energy momentum of this s gamma. And then we can have this p mu is then defined by smearing local operator t zero mu from the stress tensor over entire spatial slice. As in the beginning of the talk, I told you that we can always smear over the entire spatial slice or a subregion of the spatial part. And by doing so, this is actually this having this operator is leaving each super selection sector invariant. So that's pretty good, because this is the theory that we actually want. And what this really means is that for every possible cyclic and separating state that we choose in the vacuum, we can always have this well-defined, such that the projection operator we had will give you back the cyclic and separating state when you push to the limit. So what does this mean? Is that we have now the set of states to be bounded by energy momentum in a given super selection sector, and it is dense in that very sector, which is basically what we expected by having Riesz-Schleider theorem. So what it really means is that this assumption is identical to assuming Riesz-Schleider and bulk, and the bulk. So we can see that this is an identical statement. Yes?
Well, I mean, that statement will not be true if there's massless. So in the case, you need an infinite cutoff.
Yes.
If you want, so, yeah. Yes. If you don't have an infinite cutoff,
oh, yeah, no. You absolutely need
so
that.
You need also the
correct. Yes, correct. I'm only so considering from the UV sec, yes. But infrared, you also need that. So what does it mean then back in the von Neumann algebra? So in von Neumann algebra, this means there exists some chi as a state of bounded energy momentum. And that has to be cyclic and separating with respect to a von Neumann algebra defined in this subregion, where now this is the small neighborhood in spacetime containing this element. And this element is the open proper subregion in this spatial slice. So what does this mean is that the set of cyclic and separating states with respect to this is dense, which is coming from the math literature of in the 70s. And coming from that, we always satisfy Riesz-Schleider theorem for sure. Very good. So what I really interpret here is that having a cutoff to make sense of the quantum field theory is identical to assuming Riesz-Schiller theorem. And in return, you'll have a von Neumann algebra that is well-defined. If there is a cyclic and separating vector, which is, can be interpreted as a vacuum, then you can always have entangled wedge reconstruction and JLMS equivalence to be hold. Very good? All right. So what is the then implication of this particular theorem? The first thing is the theorem is exact. This is not an approximate theorem version. So what does it mean is that the correlation function of operators in M code is identical to the correlation functions on the boundary with the corresponding operators in the M physics, which I would say it's a more refined statement that we can have from the holography setting when this is exact. One would always expect that we want to have some sort of approximate version of this theorem so that you can use it to more black hole evaporations and stuff like that, but you don't have that yet for infinite dimension keys. And two, another important thing is this theorem is valid for certain choices of the code subspace. So code subspace, as I was telling earlier, is like a nice setting by using quantum error correction to use this as it's a subspace of the bulk. If the code subspaces consist of something like semi-classically distinct geometries, then it is clear how von Neumann algebra is associated to this subregions in the state-independent way. But when it's not the case, we actually have no idea how this will work. So let's say some example. So let's choose H code to be like a subspace describing long wavelength modes in QFD on a fixed background. Then this is identical to assuming a classically minimal area corresponding to a boundary subregion. So what it really means is that currently we have no idea how to get the minimal area in the infinite dimensional case, but such notion can exist, and this kind of hints so by having this theorem satisfied for such H code as a choice. Very good. So, well, actually, then let's ask naively why such is the case. So this will require looking into now what that really meant to use modular Hamiltonians. Okay, this is the direct reason is because due to using modular Hamiltonians. So to order of G Newton to zero, so it's not even that high, it's just order of one. The bulk dual of entanglement entropy is given by the bulk entanglement entropy. Entanglement entropy, well, okay, of the entanglement wedge plus a local integral on the minimal surface. So what does it really mean is that this is relating the bulk and the boundary. Boundary. Modular Hamiltonian. And if you look at the difference between this bulk and boundary modular Hamiltonian, they differ by the operators localized on this minimal area surface, which is equivalent up to the order of G Newton corrections. So for this reason, we can only do only on the order of one. So in a lot of entanglement entropy literature nowadays, always specify this will only work for the order of one. This is what that actually means. So this has recreated all the possible things for the infinite dimensional hyperspace setting that was allowed in the finite case. So that's good, but what does it really mean? You now understand it abstractly, what it can do for infinite dimensional cases, which is nice to have, but as a physicist, you want to see how it works. So then the best thing one can do is now considering a toy model that can apply to do so. And if you remember earlier, I was saying the nicest case of the infinite dimensional von Neumann algebra is a type 2 one, which is the only one that you can have a well-defined finite trace. So as a physicist, the normal thing to do is, can you construct a tensor network or some quantum error correcting code that gives a type 2 one von Neumann algebra? So first of all, this is a finite dimensional, and let's build the infinite dimensional case from here. So let's say this is a particularly easy 3-qutrit code. This will be very easy. So this black is the one that's the bulk nodes, and these dangling white nodes are the boundary codes. So what it really does is this one kind of like purifies it. So we're going to have then 3 bits to be sending onto this. So till this were physical, so on the boundary. So this is how we can then construct the easiest, most natural tensor coming from this tensor network. And I was emphasizing we need an isometry. So we can have this from bulk acting onto the boundary as an isometry. So let's say we have some states, then we can construct how it will act on the boundary from the bulk directly using the tensors that we constructed here.
So I understand how A, B, D, and E are at the boundary. Why is C in the boundary?
C is just like some code I just put as a middle index. So I and J is the boundary.
Yeah,
so the black qutrits are the bulk nodes, and then the white qutrits are the boundary.
So once again, on this picture, who is the boundary and who is the bulk?
The white is the boundary.
The white is the boundary.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think she's asking, what is C?
Yeah.
Where is a C?
Is C the bulk or the boundary?
I mean, the physical thing.
Sorry.
So C tilde is calling for the connecting between I and J.
So I think of it as something in the boundary or something in the bulk or neither.
So it's physical, but kind of neither. I'm not going to use that for constructing a von Neumann algebra, for example.
Okay, I will buy it for now.
Yeah, it'll be in the pre-Hilbert space, though. Yes. Elliot?
Yeah, sorry?
I thought you were having a question.
Yeah, I was just unsure. I and J are the bulk, right?
Yeah, IJ is the bulk. Oh, right. Okay, I understand what the confusion is. By black, it's white. Black is filled in. Yeah, unfilled and filled. Oh, okay. My bad. So this is what I was visioning as black. Yeah, so, okay, that's a good notation. So filled in is the bulk and unfilled is boundary. Sorry, yeah, blackboard. All right, so now we have those. So also important part is I actually want to use this to build infinite dimensional hyperspace, right? So in the end, I'm going to literally juxtapose them, which does not necessarily give you an infinite dimensional von Neumann algebra, but I am going to build it that way. And I don't want to complicate anything, so I wanted to do it with a uniform way. By that, I mean I'm going to use same reference state on each stage. So if you use qubits, that's not enough degrees of freedom. So this is why I picked qutrit codes. That's the simplest one can do to construct maybe as an attempt to build type 2-1. So since now we have the qutrit code, how it tensors, I mean, the tensor network, we need tensors, and then the map, and I can define unitaries.
Sorry, what happens when you use qubits? What do you end up with?
So if you want to use the same reference state to everything, then you don't have enough degrees of freedom. So you cannot really construct.
What type of algebra do you use?
IN.
Just one?
Yeah, type one. Yeah.
Okay.
So you're not going to be able to really get anything. You need enough degrees of freedom. I mean, you can probably do it higher than qutrit. You can do it, obviously. But by that point, it's probably better to move on to more complicated holographic codes like happy code, right? But this is like the easiest toy model that I attempted.
Okay.
It's not like special, it's just really the nicest one. So here, what I get is that these are the unitaries, the standard unitaries that you've seen in tensor network. So this one literally copies how the states move on to the other one. So from here, then what we really want is getting a particular relation that we can see a like recovery type of code. Right. So first of all, I'm going to now denote psi ij, which is a bulk thing, right? So this is a vector in the Hilbert space of bulk Jutritz as ij is a bulk. And I'm going to do exactly the same thing. I'm going to use a tilde, just a, b, d, e is the image under the isometry under U, and use the isometry of this. So this one is mapping from this to that. So from here, then you can construct these unitaries as U A tilde B tilde and U D tilde E tilde as a unitary operator that's acting on the qubit A tilde B tilde and D tilde E tilde. So I'm going to use this by now having daggers on each and acting on the bulk of the boundary code. So A, B, D, E. So all like on the outskirt and going to be mapping this to A tilde, D tilde. Now this is identical to the bulk code, IJ, except on the qubits A and D. So on just the top side. And gonna use lambda on the B and E. So you can actually show that this relation holds. So what it really means is that by having unitaries acting on, which has the isometry, you recovered the bulk code as a state, and you recovered maximum. So this is the reference state that I chose, which is the maximally entangled state that I actually picked, which is given by square root of 3 of 0, 0, 1, 1, and 2, 2. So this is the easiest thing to pick. It's a maximally entangled state. And this is basically the reason why this gives a type 2 analysis. So when you change the reference state, you'll actually change the type of a non-algebra, which is not a trivial statement, but you can show that. This is basically the one coming from. So now that we have this recovery, can we then have a, I'm going to use the other one. Okay, can you build these operators to act on these qubits? And Jutritz. So let's do an operator construction. So from here, we can have this as an operator acting on I. So we're still in the one tensor network picture. This one, which you can see on the right side, but imagine you have just one collection only so far. Then you have an operator acting on this, just I, and you can have O tilde is the one that's the operator that's acting on the adjacent boundary Jutritz, like A tilde and B tilde. So this can be then constructed by using quantum error correction technique to be OPQ, and then it's on I, acting on the unitaries of the P on the adjacent one, and then now on Q adjacent one, and then you put the B part adjacent. So you need to do another unitaries and some identity on D and E because you're not focusing on that part. So you can construct this as an operator. So by doing these, then you can actually construct the all the operators. And by doing so, we can construct Hilbert spaces. So by that, I mean, so we're going to now imagine using this as juxtapose infinitely many. So this continuing. And you can assume that from some point, it's not going to correct more, right? From after some amount of finite number, it's going to stay the same. And you have to definitely show that by converging. But you can imagine now the top, this row is like a boundary of M physics, and this is the commutant, the other end. And then the two bulk nodes, you can think of as this is M code and M code commutant. This is why this is the easiest code that one can come up with. And by doing so, now we are going to construct the Hilbert space of this infinitely continuing tensor network. So we first have to construct pre-Hilbert space, PH code. Now this is defined to include states that are of the filled Qutrits, bulk Qutrits, where but finitely many pairs of black Qutrit pairs to be in the state of reference state, because after some part, it's not going to do anything more, and it's going to be going into the reference state. So using that, then any vector in such this P code is then defined as a finite, after this, linear combinations of vectors in an over complete basis where the each basis that I'm going to give, so this each basis is then written as some von Neumann algebra and then some p's and q's of some finite number after it, this m it doesn't affect. To be defined as just the tensor product of these. So you can think of it like p1, i1, q1, j1, ij, and then tensor product continuously up till it hits the maximal number of p1, m, im, and q1, jm. And then the rest goes to the reference state, which is maximally entangled state at the moment. So you can do it like that, and you can clearly tell it's a over complete basis. And by doing so, you can actually, so here then each P, I'm going to then, this is too wordy, so I'm going to just rename this as M, P, and Q are the one pair. So you can consider like two copies of this. So you can have something like two copies of, let's see, M, PQ of 1, and then M, PQ of 2. So one important part is that, as you can tell, these are not linearly independent, the first thing. But another thing is that but you can still have an inner product defined still. That's not an issue because it's a normalized state. So if you make an inner product between the two, you have to ignore the collections that's coming from each maximal number. So this is called M1 and M2. Then a maximal number of max between the two, max M1 and M2. After this number, it does not affect further. It goes directly to the reference state. So the usual inner product on the remaining, this 9 to the max of M1, M2 dimensional Hilbert space is the one that we're going to take as a usual inner product that we're going to construct. And by doing so, this is going to be not mutually orthogonal still, but because that was normalized, this will be still normalized. So from there, then you can construct the Hilbert space to be the closure of all the pre-Hilbert space. This is a code. So that all Cauchy sequence in this H code converges. And the reason why we could define Cauchy sequence is because we could actually have an inner product defined. So that's always given. So now that we actually define Hilbert space, it's well-defined H code, and you could repeat this in physical Hilbert space as well. So now we have an infinitely continuing Hilbert space defined from this tensor network. But then we also need to construct operators to be strongly closed, because that's not given. So in order to do so, we kind of do similar procedure for the operators. And we can show that analogously, the operator is also strongly closed under the limit. By that, I mean, you can take it like a limit of on going on to this state gives just back to its state for all state in the Hilbert space. So this is a so if it this is satisfied, what it really means is that von Neumann algebra maps to itself after doing take double commutant. So we can show that this is satisfied with the operators that I wrote over there for the infinite dimensional, infinitely juxtaposed tensor network. So and then from there, then we have what we have is well-defined entanglement wedge. What is this entanglement wedge? It's this finite number up till the max number that it did not affect any further, right? And we could reconstruct the whole infinite dimensional Hilbert space, which was defined as that, right? And operators we could define already. This one gives explicit von Neumann algebra. We can check that entire properties of von Neumann's algebras are satisfied. And from here, we can also now do better and compute with this effect the JLMS formula of the relative entropy. And you show that this entanglement wedge reconstruction with this tensor network will give the relative entropy equivalence between the bulk and the boundary. Okay, so we did this as a toy model that gives type 2-1 von Neumann algebra. The next good question is, can we do better? Because unfortunately, the most generic operator algebra for local quantum field theory is type 3-1. Of course, it has to be difficult because we live in apparently a difficult world. So can we actually do better? The answer is yes. So we're going to now go back to this reference state. So I didn't erase it. So earlier I was telling you I picked this for this tensor network, and that was a maximally entangled reference state. So then what if you deter this reference state to be less entangled? More precisely, now I'm going to edit this to be like the following. I'm going to add alpha and beta. I'm going to put as 1 plus alpha squared plus beta squared. And this should strike you as something if you know, if you have worked on von Neumann algebra, it looks like Araki Woods. And this is a tensor network version of the Araki Woods factor. What you should really, if you have never heard of that, what it means is that this will change your von Neumann algebra type. And this will determine the factors. So for example, I can construct pretty much any Araki Woods type of all possible von Neumann algebra so far. Well, I don't think I constructed 3-0, but all the rest I can do it. So if I want particularly to construct type 3-1, which is the point of concern because you want a continuous spectrum of a local field theory, and that's the only one that'll give you that. All the rest does not for the type 3. Then this is the choice one has to take, that alpha and beta are non-zero, and the log of alpha ratioed by log of beta is not rational. Then this one will give type 3-1 von Neumann algebra. That's the generic local operator algebra of the quantum field theory. So next question is then, let's change into this. Can you do this thing again? Like, and have entangled wedge reconstruction done? So then the theorem will ensure at least reference, or the relative entropy between the boundary bulk is identical, whether we can determine or not at the moment. So we need to now change a little bit, because with this way of constructing Hilbert space is not easy for this particular state. But now you can take unitaries to be directly given by the isometry that I was writing earlier, but with this new reference state and do some computations onto it, then you can make it still work. So under this condition, we could demonstrate that entangled wedge reconstruction still works. That's really nice. So now this ensures the relative entropy to be still then equivalent between the boundary and the bulk. Now, if you look at this, this is not a very realistic toy model. I don't think I can come up with any particularly well-known ADS CFT by staring at this tensor network. So the next good question is, can we make onto a more realistic toy model that's more well-known that is supposed to give you something more similar to holography? And the most well-known model will be Happy Code. So then utilizing Happy Code, we run into some different problems. So let me now do this. So for example, now when we have a quantum error correcting code of more complicated code like Happy Code, it's supposed to be operator pushing. Like Happy Code. Now this is not a good sign for us because so far what we have been doing can be really thought of as state pushing. So what we did earlier, if you haven't noticed, we constructed a state and then constructed an operator coming from it that maps from operator to operator acting onto a state. So in this case, we don't have a state necessarily always given. Because Happy Code is a convenient method to just literally push under this pentagon type of tiling up and just give you operators and supposed to be magically give something like ADS. So this method doesn't quite work because, I mean, the entire methodology of building state is not going to work. Then what can we actually do? So it'll be now easier to work with than C star algebra instead of von Neumann algebra. So the differences are a little bit different. So von Neumann algebra assumes state dependence. C star algebra does not. So in the end, you need von Neumann algebra in the boundary to do anything. So relative entropy cannot be computed for generic C star algebra. However, von Neumann algebra has state, because it's depending on the norm. It's coming from a Hilbert space already.
Can you not do like a W star algebra? It's like an abstract.
The W star is just von Neumann,
right? Mm-hmm. W star is a type of von Neumann algebra.
Well, it's like, it is the, okay, but you, there's still a state, is what you're saying, somehow, and C star just doesn't have one.
So C star will not give you.
Yeah, it's getting confused.
Yeah,
it's von Neumann.
C star is a state, right?
Right.
Okay.
W star is
a state.
You
cannot do any of this fun without cyclic separating back here.
All right, so let me actually give me one more minute. I'm almost finishing anyway. So we're going to have a C star algebra on the bulk. And we still have an isometry mapping to C star algebra on the boundary. And I'm going to now add to have a KNS state. And here I'm going to assume I'm going to have a pullback of the KNS state. So now I'm going to borrow a little bit of AQFT language. If you don't understand, just assume this means constructing Hilbert space. And I'm going to use this method called GNS representation. So all I'm doing is this one allows me to construct a Hilbert space. So what it really maps to is that you're going to have now a C star algebra with a Hilbert space defined, which is very nice, an H code. And here we're going to have a C-star algebra with now H physics defined. So this KNS state will map onto the KNS state. And this state will be always cyclic and separating with respect to both C-star algebra and von Neumann algebra. What I really mean is that that's nothing more than a thermal state in physics. More correctly, it will be on the boundary map to thermal field double. which is the vacuum. And here, when it's mapped onto it, this will be KMS on its own as well, because of this isometry is still well-defined. That one is only because we had the pullback of the KMS state with the GNS representation. So this state is also nothing more than a thermal state. This will be cyclic and separating with respect to the von Neumann algebra on the bulk as well. So then what we have is that we can take this picture after doing all this, and we have a thermal state. So because this thermal state is orbital, and we can now understand with the Hilbert space constructed, can it be and construct a modular operator by having the von Neumann algebra on this? And by doing this, we can understand that a happy code will do what it's promised to do. So it'll do a entangled wet reconstruction and return relative entropies will be remained equivalent between boundary and the bulk. I think that'll be it.
A quick question. Maybe real quick, where exactly are you using the order G Newton to the zero, and do you understand like how like large non-perturbative effects might eventually correct this?
So this was only possible. So entire the methodology doesn't use this, but it depends on it, because the exact algorithm that I use already assumes that what the effect of that is depending on modular Hamiltonian. Because this is explicitly using...
Where's the G Newton in this model, maybe?
So this model doesn't really work directly with it. It's just giving the von Neumann algebra technique.
Okay.
So after thinking as a von Neumann algebra in the D-dimensional Minkowski, this will be the case. We're on to the first remark as a theorem that I proved what that theorem will apply to. So this one you will need slightly better model, right? Because that's the easiest model one can do for von Neumann algebra to show it. But that one doesn't have anything holographic too well, right? Because that doesn't have G Newton. The happy code is supposed to. Because happy code is a direct ADO safety, and at least it promised to be some sort of holographic code. So in this sense, that up to that level will be the case.
Really, in that case, they also have these modifications with the edge type.
Right.
Things.
Yeah.
Would that be important?
I think it'll
be the G Newton there.
It will be very important. So, for example, like before, I was using everything with respect to smearing. So that's kind of important because, for example, like SYK model as the boundary gives JT gravity after averaging, and that one utilizes with the edge modes. So that's kind of directly relevant to that order of G Newton.
Okay. So let's thank the speaker again.